life might hand you budgets, schedules, family, and responsibility, but driving shouldn't be just another chore.
We're here to help you find a car you love. Something that fits your budget and your needs, but is fun to drive and makes you look back. I'm Todd.
I'm Paul, and this is the Everyday Driver Car Debate.
I had the horrifying realization this week that we are just over a week from season 3.
Wow.
It is coming up quickly. Wow. I better finish up some episodes. That's all I know to
Well,
say.
You've got a few done, and you've got the third one over, so we can watch that after we finish podcasting.
Yep. Episode
I'm excited
one
about
is,
that.
Is headed toward TV on July 7th. So that's not this Saturday. That's next Saturday, if you're paying attention. And I had this realization recently and somehow lost a week in June. I don't know where it went. But we jumped a week in June
doing
based on where
stuff.
I thought we were doing okay. And so anyway, so that is coming up. For all of you that have not seen it yet, we have season 1 and 2 are both on Amazon.
Yeah.
Season 3 will be on Amazon about a month after it premieres on Velocity, but it's coming to Velocity first. 6 brand new episodes. We're very excited about it. I have to start the podcast with this. Paul said, what do you want to start with this? And I said, television, because it's all I'm thinking about right now.
Well, speaking of television, we had the chance to go on Park City Mountain Views TV, which was a lot of fun.
Yes, we did.
You know, all local, 7 people watched.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
It's the local kind of night TV show and variety show on our local Park City television station. You can imagine in a town of roughly 10,000 people how massive the TV station is. So we were on that, and it was fun.
They stream online, so they stream the episodes live during...
Terry invited us back. We actually got to talk about the show, which, of course, is something we have no trouble doing.
Yeah.
And joke about cars.
I just actually enjoyed it, because with a small-town TV show like that, you can do pretty much whatever you want.
That's true.
He rappels into the set, you know, on his opening monologue, and it's just fun. And, it was just really enjoyable without the... the overarching stuff that comes along with big TV studio. You can just have fun, talk about whatever.
Want to thank all of you guys for a few things. First off, you continue to rate us on Amazon. Thank you for that. I have seen those ratings and some of those reviews. Some of you guys have written really very nice reviews.
Yeah,
so thank you for that.
Yeah, appreciate
and that does help other people find the show. We appreciate it. That happens on this podcast as well, which today or the last few days, I looked today and happened to see this. It's been recently. We have 800 ratings on iTunes.
Fantastic.
Which
thank
is
you guys.
Very cool.
Thank you very much.
A whole
much.
Lot of reviews. So if you haven't rated or reviewed yet, we would appreciate just because we have that many, which astonishes me. Doesn't mean yours doesn't matter. And one more thing while we're talking about audience stuff.
Yeah.
Have you done the Podcast One survey yet?
Oh, yeah, right.
That is still out there. We need at least 100 submissions, so that allows us to properly tailor, or let me put it another way, allows Podcast One to properly tailor the ads to you guys so they actually relate.
Yeah, thanks for the reminder on
idea.
That. We have not yet heard back from them as far as, you know, hey,
we don't know numbers
mark.
Yet.
We haven't heard that yet.
We blew that number out last year. We'd love to do that again this year so that they have a clear sense of who you guys are, and thank you for listening.
Right.
We have 2 car
doesn't
debates coming up. No, it doesn't. Robert in Spring, Texas wrote to us. We have a fun car debate for him, and also Megan locally here in Utah. We have a really fun car debate for her. Many, many audience questions. But up front, there's Tesla news.
There's Tesla news.
Which is actually just kind of what happens on every
Tuesday. You just wanted an excuse to rant. That's all you wanted.
I have genuine questions. there's other news
By
out
questions,
there.
By questions, he means rant.
No,
he means,
there's other...
I want to just...
Not necessarily. Kind of. But anyway...
See? I knew it.
We should also acknowledge a couple other bits of news happening. You actually pointed them out on here. The Alfa Romeo 4C Coupe is dying in the U.S.
Well, yes. Only in the U.S. is it being dropped, which I feel like is the better variant of the two, even though I know you like the Spider, and that's probably how it sells the most
I'm
in their
sure
business
it is.
Case.
I'm
and
sure
have to figure
is,
out, all right, well, we sold more of that, so let's cut this one. But still, it's gorgeous, and it's kind of tragic to see it go away.
It's an 8/10 car. That's where it shines. And at 8/10, you kind of want the top off the car.
I'm not convinced, but okay.
And I'm not a guy that is huge about drop tops, but I think that's the
key
there.
But you do have your Targa top.
I do,
bonus,
and
so.
I like that in the Elise.
I know.
And then there is Dodge Challenger Hellcat news, because essentially it's another week, and so FCA threw more power at something.
You know what our cars need? They are down on power. Hey, marketing people.
Yeah.
Our cars are down on power. Guess what we did? We strengthened the internals. We added boost. And we cranked it up to even more. So good news, everybody. The new Hellcat for 2019 gets an upgrade to 797 horsepower. If you lamented the fact that you missed the Dodge Demon, no worries. You get the double hood scoop on the new Challenger. And even the Charger was upgraded. And I'm thinking, come on, upgrade that Jeep alongside it. Let's go for 800 horsepower Jeeps. Can we please? Just
797 because okay, look at it this way. Somehow,
Yeah.
FCA Dodge specifically is drinking the exact opposite concoction of the folks at Toyota. The 86 is desperate for any more
horsepower.
Are
they all at the same bar?
Can you imagine 90 more horsepower in the 86 chassis? That'd be phenomenal. 90 more horsepower for a car that already has 700 is thank you, but okay.
It's a marketing gimmick.
It's
We turned it up. You're not going to be able to feel that.
We turned it up. Woohoo. I mean, but
your burnouts last 20% longer.
Possibly.
Everyone.
Somebody has actually calculated that.
You know,
sure,
like
it's
at
on
Costco,
somewhere.
You get 20% more liquid in the Tide, whatever
you
thing.
You do, whatever. Your special version.
Burnouts are 20% longer, everyone.
Are these challenges going to come with like, that like little star thing, that little star graphic right behind the back that says now with 20% more or whatever? Can
20%
we please have that? That'd be amazing.
Rubber on the tires because we knew you were going to last longer.
Ridiculous,
that's
but that's very
need.
Funny. So the Tesla news actually happened right before we actually made this podcast, like a couple hours prior. And so I mentioned to Paul when we first sat down, should we cover this? Obviously, Tesla is one of those things where they get covered no matter what. But I think this is interesting.
Pretty much.
On a lot of levels. Tesla, how do I put this kindly? They want more money. if you have a reservation for your Model 3, you already paid $1,000 for your reservation. Now, of course, it's fully refundable, and I know, you know, they've had the better part of 500,000 people supposedly that signed up. There is some percentage, I've heard everything between 20 and 40% of those have dropped since, but only Tesla has those numbers as to how many people are currently on the list.
Right. That's my understanding, yeah.
So I'm going to go really conservative here and say there's only 200,000 people left. That'd be half what they thought.
Well, they've only delivered 11,000 cars up to now.
I know.
But that's all they've got.
But I'm
so
just
far.
Saying, let's go really low number, and you'll see why I'm doing that in a minute.
Okay.
Let's say there's only, and I don't think it's this low, but let's say there's only 200,000 people left on the list hoping for their Model 3. Tesla has essentially sent out the happy birthday emails to all of them, said, you can order your car now.
Guess what?
Which is what everybody's been waiting for. You put in, like, the one that we drove that's on episode one, okay? That guy put in his $1,000 2 years ago, and then when we drove his car, what had happened is 2 years later, he got the email from Tesla, ordered his car, and had it in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm, right.
But now Tesla's email is, if you're on the list, so all, I'm just going to stay with it, 200,000 of you, all of them got the email that says you can order your car now.
Theoretically, right? Okay.
But we need $2,500 more now.
Yeah.
And you'll have your car, we think, within 2 to 4 months. So it actually doesn't have a – it's not like our friend Brandon that had his Model 3. It's not like a – your car's on its way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So staying with math – because I actually got out of the calculator for this because, you know, math is not my gift. 200,000
okay.
times 2,500
okay.
is a $500 million.
It's – yeah, great, great.
Okay.
It's money coming in the door.
Yes, because there's been a lot of discussion on Wall Street and elsewhere that Tesla was going to have to do another financial call before the end of the year in order to survive. And Tesla's been saying, no, we aren't. No, we aren't. No, we aren't. We're fine. We're good. We're all good here. We don't need any more money. By the way, here's a way to bring a $500 million in the door.
Yeah, they're good at doing that.
With no guarantee of when the cars will be delivered. I'm not, please don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting they're not going to deliver cars. I know they're delivering, I know they're ramping up. We've driven one, we were impressed. This is not about all of that. Here's my actual question.
Okay.
When does the goodwill run out for the way this company is run?
I can speculate on that, but I don't think it's ever. I don't think it's ever.
Because what I've been racking my brain about since this announcement happened earlier today,
are you looking for the answer? Are you actually like wanting to land
it's kind of rhetorical because here's the thing.
This is
the question behind my question, and that is, can anybody think of another company in any industry that could operate this way and would continue to stoke goodwill on the part of the people that are buying their product, Wall Street, and the media?
You're wondering why companies that are brick and mortar and actually have either fabs or factories or whatever they are and have balance sheets and are profitable and are buying back stock at this point, how come their stock price has dropped and Tesla's keeps going up? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Well, but I'll even stay in the world of startups. How is Tesla this bulletproof?
It's honestly, I am... not trying to share any financial knowledge at all. I do not.
Because we don't have any. Yeah.
I do not consider myself in that category or anywhere close. But what I understand is everything about Wall Street and what stock valuation is on is for what future production will be. Mm-hmm. It's not what you're doing right now necessarily. It's what are you claiming for the future? And if you just keep doing that, the answer is indefinite.
True. True.
If you just say, it's coming, it's coming.
If it's speculation.
The paint shop is overwhelmed. They're erecting tents, portable tents in on the tarmac to roll cars out. And your car was constructed actually not in a shed. A shed is too nice for you. we built your car in a tent.
We don't have time for a shed. We have a tent up, though, because in Southern California, we'll be fine.
How does that make you feel about your car? You think, well, it should go through the factory, shouldn't it? But
things like this, and also the news that keeps coming back about Elon sleeping on the floor. Now, I keep coming back to this thought. If we heard of any other CEO, Tim Cook at Apple is now sleeping on the floor. Wouldn't we think he'd gone insane? Wouldn't we think that spells trouble at Apple? If the CEO, Mary Barra of GM, started sleeping on the factory floor, wouldn't we think she shouldn't be CEO anymore? These are my questions. This is a company that whatever they do that looks oddball, somehow for them spins to, oh, that means they're doing well. This is where my brain hurts. And honestly, I know I sound like I'm ranting. This is not me trying to be anti-Tesla.
A tiny bit.
This is me completely confused why these, if you will, breadcrumbs for that I think would be spell doom for any other company somehow just make this kind of, oh, this is what they did today, isn't it cool, news with Tesla.
I mean, there's on and on. I could go on about Elon's factory tour. He's considering this extended factory tour now and asking customers to come help build their Tesla.
Yeah.
That smacks of the whole restaurants that, hey, come make your own pizza thing. That's not why I went out to eat. I want you to make it, and I'm going to pay you money, and you're going
to
make it for me.
I came here for you to cook.
I don't want
to
get my hands in the stuff, and that's why I went out to eat, so I didn't have to do that at home.
But that plays to...
Come help build your car. It sounds like in a cool extended factory tour,
but in addition,
I'm actually teaching others to paint the fence now. I'm rallying the troops. Like, you want to leave your mark? You want to leave your fingerprints in the wet concrete? Come on, help build your car.
Yes, but that actually lends to the mystique that they have with their customers, which is impressive. And you get to say, I was involved and I was there. And I get that. I mean, I think, look, if... Not they're going to do it, but if Ferrari, where you can go watch your car come off the assembly line, or Porsche, where you can do the same thing, if you could walk out there and just even put the lug nuts on in the perfect, if you could be at McLaren in Woking and walk out onto the pristine line, you could help put your door on, you'd do it. I actually don't mind that, but it's just another thing in a wall of how is this all okay? Yeah. So Tesla, in a weird way, this is the way I'm taking the news. Tesla, in a weird way, has said, we don't need any more money, and then turned around to their customers and said, give us money, because we're eventually giving you a product, to do an end run on the fact that they apparently do need money.
But you've answered your own question. They're asking for money from customers, not from more investors.
True.
They're not asking for, hey, venture capital, whoever, give us more influx of capital to develop.
Yes.
They're actually now customer money, and that goes obviously towards the purchase of your car.
It does.
But you're asking rhetorical questions that are somewhat unanswered, but they're based on just the future, because who else is doing what Tesla is actually doing? And I applaud them for kicking every other car manufacturer in the teeth and going, come on, let's do this.
Yeah. Let's do this. Yeah.
You know, open source patents. Come on. I'm giving it to you. Come on.
But at the same time, they all have jumped on the bandwagon. And all
they
of
have.
Those cars
They've
are either
the bait.
Here now or coming.
Yeah.
Which creates a scenario where you're going to have cars that are out there that you can go get right now. Let me put it this way. If you pay your extra $2,500 to Tesla and 6 months goes by, are you angry? It says, we think between 2 and 4 months, but 200,000 cars, there's just basic math. There's no way all those cars get built in that amount of time.
With Tesla owners, they wouldn't get angry.
Yeah.
They wouldn't, because they're
But the question becomes, if you pay that extra amount,
want it,
and 6 months from now you have no car, and things like the Jaguar I-Pace are out there, and the terrible named Porsche thing is out.
Excellently named.
Do you look around?
Taycan.
Do you look around? I just...
Honestly, not for Tesla, because it's the Apple. It's the iPhone.
Maybe,
it's not
maybe
the Android. It's not the Samsung.
Maybe that's the thing.
Those
maybe
are
it's
excellent
just the
products
brand.
Too, but it's just the cachet that he's built with the brand. So,
which is amazing.
I don't
it's
see
amazing.
It stopping. I mean, for all your frustration, I don't see it stopping. And I'm not, either I'm not promoting or defending either way. I'm just saying it's going to continue. We're in for more of this.
I'm shocked. I'm just
suddenly be like, hey, we're profitable.
And that's my demeanor, which is genuinely not Tesla hate. It's sitting here in kind of astonishment, like jaw-dropped astonishment that stuff that I think, and I'm not a titan of industry, clearly, but but I think if those things were laid at the feet of other companies, everyone would be terrified of that company. And yet for Tesla, it somehow is in the plus column, and I find it amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping people would see that. I'm hoping more people, Wall Street analysts, would say, you know, it's not okay to talk to our investors that way on the phone on an earnings call, because he was kind of rude, is my understanding. And just let's not focus on any other thing. But okay, and now he's sleeping in the factory, as you said, but is that a marketing thing? Is it, what are you really doing? Don't you hire
I come back to Mary Barra and Tim Cook. If either of them were sleeping on the factory floor, the entire board would be like, we got to get rid of them. What happened to them?
Probably.
They haven't showered in a week and they sleep on the factory floor, but yet that somehow is an asset
unless
here.
Unless you could spin it like,
weird.
What leadership you're showing. You're rolling up your sleeves and getting dirty just like everybody else.
But the rest of the company isn't sleeping on the factory floor. That's exactly how it's been spun.
Yeah.
But I just, okay.
It continues.
Do we need the tired, smelly CEO walking around? Is that helping morale? Honestly, he hasn't showered in a week and he looks disheveled. He doesn't want, don't stand by me. I'm trying to build a car here.
I'm trying to bathe in cash right
now.
Anyway,
yeah.
Hang on. Well, I don't think it's that. It's anyway, there's a lot of stuff involved.
We've got
to get to these debates,
yes,
though.
Yes, we should do car debates.
I think it's very interesting. But yes, ongoing. For now, we'll leave it there. Robert is writing to us. He is out near Houston in Spring, Texas, and he's writing to us about filling the gap. This is very interesting. It's, mm-hmm. you know, sort of, what do I do with this space between my wife's car, which is a 2014 Jeep Wrangler manual, and he says, manual because she's awesome.
Exactly.
I agree.
Absolutely, yeah.
And his 2017 MX-5 RF Club.
He has the bookend cars.
That's very interesting. And so kind of right in the middle, what do they do for the commute or when there's mm-hmm. traffic and they don't want to – I mean, both cars are manual transmissions.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you don't want to rumble along the Jeep and then – they're both specifically designed mm-hmm. for very fun purposes. But
yes.
for the everything in the middle,
yeah.
what do you do? Well, there's some requirements in here.
And even to the fact that not only is it just life stuff, hey, we may have to commute today and all these kind of things, it's also the fact that his 88-year-old mother
– yeah.
We got to transport her. Are we got to fold her into the RF? Not really. Is she going to climb up in the Wrangler? Probably not. So what's the car
comfy?
We take her around in. You know, exactly. So that is the fact that this is the car. We've got the bookends. We need the dead middle of the shelf.
Yeah, right. Plus, they want power and fun. You know, he says, Miata's strictly our weekend fun car. We adore it. It's just too small for the regular use in Houston, home of the Blind to Miatas pickup trucks, which we have actually talked about a lot here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just Miatas. It's Lotai. It's Caymans. It's
yes.
all the small cars.
Yes.
But yeah, to your point, they need, you know, something that's fun to drive and ride and power, but it's also nice to ride and comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an automatic for the days that I mentioned, you know, if he's not taking the bus to work and he's got to suffer in the traffic. So what they've landed on so far is this 2018 Volkswagen Golf R.
Mm-hmm.
And just the fact, Robert, that you're talking about a 2018 car, brand new car, is kind of leading me to think you're looking at new cars. I think you're implying that, but maybe you're open to other things. You said, yeah, it's automatic, DSG, great seats, great interior, all-wheel drive, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And they would like all-wheel drive. I mean, it checks every single box they've talked about. They like the fact that it's kind of a sleeper. Mm-hmm. He says it's an adult's car. He says, look, I'm 55. I don't want a WRX or a Civic Type R. It just doesn't – that's not the style he wants. Plus, I don't know that his mom wants to climb into the Civic Type R. She's going to think, like, what is that thing? That's probably true as well. So this is the reason the Golf R feels
the
like the
wing
right
is
thing.
Handy to hang on to when you're it walking
is.
Out to the car.
It, you can use it. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A grab
it's
handle.
A support. It's perfect. But the questions come up. That Golf R is going to be every bit of 40 grand.
Yeah.
So at 40 grand.
Is that a lot or a little?
Well, no, but he's saying, here's his question. At 40 grand, theoretically, they could actually trade in. They have an Acura that they've been using as the middle ground car. It's a 2014 Acura
MDX. Yeah, it's an inherited car, actually.
Totally, totally. So they could get rid of that for the mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
And they have enough budget that they could stretch to have about 50 grand total.
Right, right.
About 10 more than this Golf R. So he's going, wait a minute. The Golf R seems to check every box, but if I've got as much as 50 grand, is there something else I should be looking at? And that's where the debate starts for us to find, if not Golf R, then what?
Yeah, true. I like it put like that. All right. So you mention your budget, but then you keep going in your email, Robert, and says, you know, you say more is available, more money, if there's material performance, reliability, or style benefits that justifies the additional cost.
Or in Paul's case, justification for where Paul went.
Guess what I did with that sentence?
Yeah. Justification.
Well, I pushed on it just a tad.
Now with more money.
But I can justify all three of my choices for you, and I would all I would consider all of these kind of equal for different reasons. It sounds strange, but they're all in kind of the same price category, but they all kind of have a different appeal.
Okay.
And I'm going to start with a 2018 BMW X3 M40i. I drove this at Moto Press Guild Track Day
back
in November, and honestly, the press fleet guys there had to convince me to get in this car and take it on track.
I remember,
It was not the street drive car. They had it...
Yeah, we
marked,
were all like,
earmarked
that's
for track
a track
use.
Car? Why is
went,
that a...
Yeah, why do I want to... I don't want to drive that on track. No. And they said, get in it. Here,
it
get
shot.
In it.
Yeah.
I thought, no. Get in it. Fine. All right. And honestly, I was just kind of like, it's just going to be another small CUV, and it's a BMW. It's going to be fine, and I'm going to be blah. It was impressive.
I remember you said that, yeah.
It was more impressive than the M550 that I got in prior to that.
Yeah, that was the bigger surprise. Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. It was impressive on track. It cornered flat. The brakes were great. They were astoundingly strong. And this car really impressed me coming back in. It was that dark navy blue with the tan.
Yeah. I remember that, yeah.
Kind of burnt ochre interior.
I remember getting out of something and looking over and seeing you pulling in the paddock of that car going, why did Paul go out in that? And you got out and went, wait.
He had
on.
To shove me in that car.
I remember
convince
that.
Convince me to get on track. And he's like, no, it's really surprising. And I thought, okay. And he's right. He was right.
Yeah.
And so the badge definitely took over at that point. It's okay. It's a BMW for a reason here. Mm-hmm. It was impressive. The handling was great.
It has the M bits.
It does.
It's been made more better.
I was impressed. 355 horsepower, but they start pretty high. And that's why I kind of, I think they're in the 54 kind of starting place. But I thought, well, if we're starting there, why not move on to a 2018 Volvo XC60?
Oh, no.
The R design is lovely. It's the brand new refresh redesign, which I will not call a refresh because it's pretty much brand new. Gorgeous. They start at 44.8, but the one we drove was 63,000.
Mm-hmm.
It was up there, but turbocharged and supercharged, 2-liter 4, 316 horsepower. We ranted about this car and the amenities, and it's stylish and gorgeous. The reason I'm going, Robert, in this general direction, you can see that the trend here is because of your mom and just the ease of ingress, egress, getting in and out, because it's the seats are just kind of right. You don't have to sit down in. You can just kind of plop.
It's the benefit of a CUV in this regard. Absolutely agree with you. I hear you.
And that's why they're in this category of, you know what? They're more of the performance-oriented, stylish, great to drive, kind of check your boxes. But I'll be honest, they're expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think worth it for these reasons. And then you might see my last one coming at you. But it's a used car. And I thought, how much Macan GTS could you get?
Interesting. Okay.
Surprisingly, I found a 2017 Macan GTS for $57,900.
Okay.
33,000 miles. And my justification for that, Robert, is PDK. They don't put the PDK in the Cayenne.
Okay. True.
They do
fair.
In the Macan. Now, on that Volvo, I did find some 2018 R designs for about $57,58. So you don't have to go super brand new. Maybe it's the dealer test thing for, you know, it's got 2,000 miles on it. Who cares? But the interior was great on the Volvo, gorgeous, but I got to have that Macan GTS. And I say GTS for the power and the performance that you're looking for.
Yeah.
I don't think the S is going to cut it, honestly. So I'm really thinking GTS, and I thought, could I really? Yes, you can.
That's
57, 58.
Okay. All right.
Slightly used 2017 Macan GTS.
Yeah, good.
I think that could really get it done.
Okay. Well, I tried to stay 40 grand and below, which means I'm shopping used.
Admirable.
But not very used.
You.
Like a year or two at the most. Because essentially, I'm really looking at this for Robert and going, okay, we're talking about the Golf R alternative because he has really decided the Golf R does everything I needed to do. It's done. I'm right here. That's the
They're
size I want.
They're sort of mired in Golf R thinking.
Exactly. It's the size I want. It has the performance I want. It's nice inside. This would absolutely check all the boxes. So I went, okay, two alternatives that I think one is just a straight-up alternative, and the other one I actually think is better.
Okay. All right.
A straight-up alternative is get yourself an Audi S3.
S3s are good, yeah.
It is.
It's the sedan Golf R.
In sedan form.
Yeah.
So you've got a little bit different styling. You didn't buy yourself now a $40,000 hatch. You bought yourself a $40,000 little hot sedan, okay?
Love it.
Unless you need the hat, but you say you're kind of, that's kind of been your question about the Golf R is, I'm buying a pricey hot hatch. Is that what I should do? So S3 is the alternative. And the thing about they're roughly 10 grand more than the Golf R new, but they depreciate faster.
Yeah.
So a year or two old one is going to be Golf R money, and you've got yourself an S3. So I think it's a straight up really good alternative to consider what
Excellent
I'd rather have
alternative.
That.
Yeah.
But the one I think you need to get, because I'm looking at you guys in your description, and you are car enthusiasts.
Clearly,
this needs to be something that has a little, I think the SUV kind of style is kind of where we're headed here. The Golf R isn't, but
I'm just
it's
thinking
this kind
again
of
to get in and
hatch.
Out easy.
Yeah,
is
totally.
Like, you know,
so we need
people
a car that can seem normal, that can seem adult, but by the way, is hair on fire. And I have to go there.
Okay,
Mercedes GLA. AMG 45, get a year or two old one. I'm looking at them here. I've literally got one in front of me right now with 5,000 miles on it for 45 grand.
Wow.
Okay, so just go out and start shopping for these cars. GLA, 45, AMG, they're out there. Now, the new ones are 60. Don't get a new one.
Yeah,
get a year or two old one, okay, with a few thousand miles on it, and it's right about 40 grand.
That's Mercedes does the Golf R.
Exactly what it is. It is the I have more money than the hot hatch world, hot hatch. That's what we talked about when we did it in season one.
Yeah, talking about your style proclivities, Robert. You know, hey, should I get the big wing thing?
Yeah.
We kind of were moving past that. The GLA, it's AMG. Come on.
And honestly, unless you're an enthusiast, everybody looks at that car and just sees, oh, you bought a little Mercedes SUV. Mm-hmm. And it's a Mercedes and it's classy and it's adult's car and blah, blah. But by the way, tons of power, good automatic, fast, agile, done. I think you vanish in traffic in Houston when there's traffic. And I think you vanish when there's not traffic because it just goes. So that's my car for you, Robert.
Nice. Well, all this talk has made me think of the Stelvio lately because that was there at the same Motor Track Day. And that Quadrifoglio version of it has come out, but I don't think they're anywhere close. I think they're pushing 70 for that.
They're like the Quadrifoglio
hot one.
Yeah, of course they are.
But I keep coming to other things, the other choices, Todd's choices I would get before I even consider the Stelvio, honestly. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's in the same category as the Giulia for me. Just sort of, lease or... You know, used, but new, I can't really go there. So
interesting. All right.
Robert.
Hopefully you like one of those there and you and your wife can find the little ground car. I like this kind of shopping as well.
Yeah. Plus you've got a car to sell. So, all right. So you've got choices to make. If you've got your own debate, please write to us. We've been getting so many emails.
It's
Everyday
awesome.
Driver
it's really
TV
good.
At gmail.com. Or you can find us right on the website, Everyday Driver. You can go to the About. You can go to Contact right under the About tab right there and find us and write your email to us right there. Love hearing from you. And like I said, they are stacking up. So hopefully we can get to your debate. Please write to us, a few sentences, not the book of,
Well, just
everything.
Paragraphs would be helpful.
Paragraphs
just that in
good.
And of itself helps. And the two-scroll rule helps as well. That's nice. Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you, guys. We're going to take a quick break and come right back.
Here's some useful car tips you might not be aware of. A coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean your interior. Removing excess weight from your car will improve the gas mileage. Why? Because the car is now lighter. And you can place your key fob on your chin or against your temple and increase its range. Weird, right? Well, here's another tip you might not be aware of. TrueCar also helps people get used cars.
That's right. TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used.
And with TrueCar, users can see what other people paid so they know if they're getting a good deal before they're buying. They're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with a TrueCar certified dealer. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
You know what's a must-have in your car care arsenal? It's a Brush Hero. This is the water-powered detailing tool that's perfect for tough areas like wheel spokes and engines, tailpipes and grills, and even bicycles. Interestingly, Brush Hero requires no batteries or electricity. It scrubs slowly with an impressive amount of torque.
This was created by car guys. It's designed to be tough, quick, and effective without causing damage. It's easy to use. Just hook it up to a standard garden hose, flip the handy on-off switch, and start cleaning. Brush Hero is a great gift idea, and they've got an extensive line of gift sets and accessories.
And now, our listeners can enjoy 10% off their order at brushhero.com with code DRIVER. You can also find the Brush Hero at select Costco and Walmart stores. But don't forget to use the code DRIVER at brushhero.com for 10% off, and all orders over $40 ship free.
GEICO presents Eyewitness Interviews with Inanimate Objects.
This is Brian Bruno, live on the scene of a recent windstorm, here to describe the event, A Chest of Drawers.
There's a storm howling outside, so I thought I'd stay in and watch a rom-com. 5 minutes into the flick, a tree branch slams through the window.
Were you hurt?
I just got a scratch on my chest.
Your chest of drawers can't help you in a windstorm, but the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property damage. Call GEICO to see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
We're back with a car debate from Megan. She is in Utah. She and her husband, actually, are in Utah. They've been listening to our podcast for over a year.
Thank you, guys.
Very cool. Really appreciate it. She writes to us with this email saying that before she met her husband, she was perfectly fine with buying a Toyota Camry and driving it for 10-plus years, as Toyota Camrys do.
Yes, absolutely. She had a car. Car was an appliance. Didn't really matter.
It's a toaster. It's a toilet. It's a Camry. It's all the same. Right?
Yeah, and her description, then my husband walked into my life, and suddenly I'm having daily multiple hour-long conversations about cars. Megan, first off, wow, you're tolerant. Your husband found something there, for sure. That bravo to your husband for finding you and for you tolerating that. But you have said, okay, 3 years into your marriage, you have the disease pretty bad for cars, and it's only getting worse, which leads to you writing to us.
See, you can infect your spouse.
My wife as well, for sure.
Yeah. Now,
my wife has a blow-off valve. She's like, you know what? I'm done. That's enough cars. I'm moving on. But
she
anyway.
Does. Yeah. We talk about other stuff, too.
We do. We have to, because at some point she's like, okay, enough with the cars.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So Megan currently drives a 2006 Subaru Legacy, which she claims 0 to 60 in 15-plus seconds. I looked it up. I think it's more like 8, but maybe your car indeed does 15-plus seconds. I don't know your car.
I love that she's like, this is how awful. Please get me out.
All right. So they bought it after she hit a deer and needed to quickly find a cheap, reliable car, which is fine. But she said, this car is boring. Yeah. And she didn't realize how boring until 6 months ago when her husband bought a BMW M235i. She said, this is the first performance car I've ever driven, and it put a smile on my face.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Megan.
We're
thrilled to have you on board.
The water's warm, and we're sorry all at once.
Exactly.
Yes.
She said, I just love listening to the exhaust when it was in sports mode, and she hit her first and many more daily triples.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Bravo. It is interesting to me that there are two kinds of people in the world, those that have never driven 100, and those that have driven 100 regularly, like this morning. There's not like a middle ground. There's not like a middle ground. It's funny to me. It's very funny to me. You mentioned to some people that you've driven over 100 miles an hour, and they look at you like you said you went to space. Okay? And then the people that drive hard all the time are like, yeah, I did that this morning.
Exactly.
Those are the categories. There's no
That's
gray
very
area.
True.
Anyway.
I did have to indoctrinate my niece and nephew a few years ago when they were like, you know, I still had my other Cayman, by the way.
Yeah.
And they came to LA to visit me when I was still there.
Yeah.
I said, have you ever been 100 miles an hour? No.
Yeah.
We should go 100. Let's go 100. Anyway, they had to have their crazy uncle breaking them in.
Well, that's what the crazy uncle's for. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So Megan is looking for a performance car. Her price range is 15 to 20K. And she said, we might be able to push an extra 5K. If you ever write to me and say we might.
Megan.
That's like written in stone.
You've listened to the podcast long enough that you cannot give Paul extra leash.
Because
there's
you know
no
what
extra money. Because that's
give a
just
mouse a
money.
Cookie,
that's just the money.
He's going to spend more of your money anyway. Depending on their home purchase, it might be happening in the next 6 months, and they're saving a majority of their car money for her husband, who is the true enthusiast. She admits, I mean, he's dreaming just like we are. Porsche GT3, Lotus Evora 400, the Giulia Quadrifoglio, on and on and on. I mean, we're sharing the same dreams. Everybody listening is sharing that same dream.
I mean, let's be honest. This M235, he got it used because it's an M235. It probably cost in the mid-20s or something.
Right.
And he's looking at cars that cost 3 to 4 times that. Yes, Jordan, we know. So, yeah, we've been there. So that's where they are. But so hopefully we can find her something that is fast and fun, less than 5 years old.
Yeah. Yep.
She wants Bluetooth. That's fairly easy to do. Quiet, but then you list your cars you kind of like, and many of them are not that quiet. You don't mean exhaust. You mean like in the cabin. So not like...
Right, just
road noise. We're not getting you in a lease. Let's put it that way.
Are those loud?
Yeah, a little bit. You do want an automatic because you don't know how to drive stick. Now, there is a task for your husband.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for you to learn to drive stick. But okay, I'm going to stay with the automatic
thing
anyway. Yeah, yeah,
baby
automatic
steps.
Anyway. And then you do not want an SUV or CUV.
Yeah.
You want to stay with a small car.
Yeah.
So we need a real enthusiast car for Megan. She's made a list of things she likes. I have some cars I want to talk about that are on her list, and then I have an answer. I want to talk talk my way to this is the car you need to get.
No kidding.
Yep.
Because I have an answer too.
Do you?
Just one.
Okay.
But first, let's talk about the cars that they have looked at together. Mitsubishi Evo, good choice. Mm-hmm. Mini Cooper S, yep. Mm-hmm. Mazda 3, she says, maybe this is a bit too boring. Maybe. It depends on your budget and depends on kind of what you're looking to get out of it. But
great car, but I wouldn't call it an enthusiast car first.
Yeah,
great
you can car. Dig deep and find some fun out of that car.
Yeah.
But still, take your point. BMW 135i, which instantly popped in my head. I'm glad you had it on your list here.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, Miata's on here. Golf GTI. And, of course, the Toyota 86. So
In any capacity, the FRS, BRZ, whatever. Yeah.
So definitely you can kind of get the idea of the size that she's looking for.
For sure.
Kind of small, not too small, but you know certainly very enthusiast-oriented.
There's a pattern there for sure, yeah.
And I've considered your list. I went round and round. I made lists. I did research. Megan, I came back to a car, and I went shopping specifically for this car. And I found one. Found multiple, as a matter of fact.
But you're spending how much at this point? Dare I ask?
I didn't blow up their budget quite as badly.
Okay.
And again, remember the 15 to 20 plus 5K. So I'm in the $25,000 headspace.
Yeah.
And so whenever I shop $25,000 cars, I set the limiter at $26,000 on my search engines.
No, I get that. I do the same
because
thing.
Because a $25,500 car, you can probably get for $500 or knock the $500.
You won't get a $500, but I get you. You'll be able to talk it down. Yeah.
So I have come up with for you, Megan, the Mark 7 Golf R.
Really? Okay.
2015 and above. So 2015 is when they were introduced in the U.S. I think it was 13. Elsewhere outside of the United States. So the Mark 7, 2015 and higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I went looking, and there's multiple for sale. Now, there's some with higher mileage, I admit, but there's some like this 2015 VW Golf R four-door. Red, 35,000 miles, 25.7. And the reason I'm spending more of your money and asking you to commit more is because it is the R.
Because it is you.
It's got the 300 horsepower. It's got the DSG. Mm-hmm. It's the R. It's a special car. It's a special interior. And it is the enthusiast car. It's the... When people notice, an enthusiast notice, it's not just a, oh, you got a Golf. Is that a GT? Oh, you got the R.
Yeah.
But you're special.
Kind of.
It's like when you notice somebody's watch on their wrist and you think,
I'm lost.
Is that an IWC? Is that a... Wow, you're wearing an Auris. Whoa, I'm impressed. You have discerning taste. And so I went there again because of the added power, because it kind of hides. And I like this chassis. We've liked this car a lot. I want you to be in the latest car, the latest generation.
Okay.
And they're available. If you're willing to go $5,000 extra, you can find them for $25,000, the Mark 7 VW Golf R.
That's good. That's really good. I do like that. I'm impressed with that choice. I did not wind up there. I did not break the budget. I did break one other rule instead.
Okay.
So I will admit that. But I'm going to talk my way to what... For me, for you, is the sniper shot, Megan. I've got a car that I think you should just go get. I think it should be your car.
Great.
But I want to talk there first because you've got some driving homework. You need. I think it's interesting that that M235 has kind of ignited your interest in cars.
Awakening.
I love that. That's fantastic. And I'm glad your husband likes it as well. As a result, I'm taking the BMW off the table.
Okay.
You have a BMW in your life. Done.
Fine.
You need to, if you haven't driven it yet, you need to drive the 86 platform.
Good.
Please go drive one. The other thing I kept thinking about is has to be an automatic that is a worthwhile automatic. It's not going to ruin it.
Sure, okay? I agree to that, yeah.
You know, some of the generations of the Mini have a CVT. It's a decent CVT, but it's still a CVT for the automatic.
Decent and CVT in the same sentence.
I know.
That seems weird to me.
I know. You said you didn't want a loud, kind of rattly interior inside. I think the Evo's off the list.
Yeah.
I love that car.
Agree with
I think
that.
The 86 actually is borderline. Because it's a fairly loud cabin. I actually don't think it's a problem. I really don't. But it's a fairly loud cabin, certainly compared to your husband's BMW.
$20,000, you can almost get a new 86.
You almost could, but you can shop all over the place for those. But please go drive one so you know what it's like.
Yeah.
But you did mention the Miata. You have to drive that. You have to drive a Miata so you know what the new current Miata. I would drive the NC last gen and the ND this generation. Drive both of those so you know.
Sure.
But that had made me look. And I dug around a little bit, and I found, I think, the car. It will feel special.
Hmm.
It is a convertible.
Oh.
It has a solid automatic. It'll run for a long time. You can get it for your budget. It's not a BMW. I have to go there. I cannot believe you didn't. Buy yourself a Porsche Boxster S. Now, here's the rule I broke.
Interesting.
You're probably not within 5 years.
That's probably why I didn't consider that.
You're probably buying a 06 to 09.
Still great. Still
great.
Excellent.
And those cars typically aren't going to be hugely high miles. Some of them might be, but those cars run.
Oh,
the Boxers just run.
Yeah.
You do maintenance and they keep running. If you get one of the earlier ones, we're talking 06 to 08, okay, go get the IMS bearing done.
Sure.
But
those
interiors, unlike the first gen Boxster, those interiors, while they're dated, don't look terribly dated. The first gen Boxsters are like the 996 generation, early 2000s, 911s.
Right. We're talking 987 Boxster.
Yeah, those interiors look really, really old.
Mm-hmm.
But the second gen Boxster starting in 05, and I'm talking about 06, 07s and up, that interior is decent. It's a nice place to be. And whether you're in the Boxster or the Boxster S, I say just go base Boxster. Why not? You're still going to love that car.
Sure.
It's still going to have more power than the 86 chassis. But if you can get an S, bonus.
Then why not Cayman? If you're at Boxster, why not Cayman for the same generation?
Because she brought up the Miata.
Okay.
Because of the kind of convertible bonus of the Boxster.
Okay. All right.
I mean, sure, go Cayman. Why not? But I'm trying to do a car that is for her and is different than that BMW. They've got a two-door coupe, if you will.
Very much so, yeah.
So, okay, here's a convertible Porsche.
Good.
Very different. And I also think about the fact that Chance's wife, Mandy, she has that Boxster and loves it.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
My wife drove some of the 911s when we were doing 50 years of the 911, and she was in love with a car we didn't like that much but happened to be a convertible.
True. Well,
you know? So,
yeah. Different reasons. I love it. I absolutely love it.
The downside here is you got to go back a few years.
Years and the automatic. I mean, it's not PDK because you're not going to get... It's a true automatic.
Who cares?
So, okay.
I mean, so... Honestly, I would not be scared about a Boxster with 60, 70,000 miles, 80,000 miles. Why not just get the 80,000-mile service done, get the IMS bearing done, keep driving and enjoy it.
What did you find as far as shopping?
All kinds of stuff.
I mean, what was the newest year that you could find?
I've actually got a 09 Boxster S in front of me.
Do you?
Blue, okay. 24 grand, 80,000 miles.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. All right.
But, I mean, you know, there's an 07 here with 45,000 miles for 23.
Sure.
Okay. So we're in this world, but you can get down into under 20 grand on these pretty easily. I mean, here's another 07, not an S. The others were an S, not an S, but right at 20 grand with 40,000 miles, an 07 Boxster. Done.
Wow. Yeah.
Done.
And automatic?
Miles? Yes.
Really?
So there are options out there, Megan. I actually think that is your answer. Your husband has Porsche love. It's a car for you. I think I'm done right there.
Awesome. All right. Well, Megan, let us know, please. You've got some shopping to do. So I'm very curious as to where you go with this. We've got to get to some audience questions here.
They're great ones.
Yeah, excellent. And I want to start off with two similar ones.
Okay.
There was Sam on Facebook and Zillwills on Instagram kind of saying the same thing. Not really, but you'll see what I mean here.
Oh, I see these, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sam asks, what's the best way to negotiate a better price when buying a car from a dealer or a private party?
Mm-hmm.
Said, you know, we've bought a ton of cars. Surely we have tips. Yes, we do. And Zillwills is saying, is there a better time of year to buy certain used cars? Example, would I have a better shot at finding a good Miata for sale sometime after the summer is over, like October, November, or something like that?
Buy when it's snowing.
You know, under the assumption that the previous owner would want to sell it after having fun all summer,
yeah.
want to dump it. I'm going to start with the IG question. Zillwills, I'm going to say people sell cars all year round for all kinds of reasons. So yes, the thinking is good, but there's of course exceptions to every rule. People will have to sell because of financial reasons, or they have to move, or a job change, or you don't know the reason. So it's not necessarily everybody's dumping their Miatas in October. It's not that kind of thinking. Not quite, if you know what I mean. And it's not necessarily, hey, by March I should be shopping Miatas, you know, because springtime. No, not necessarily. I mean, you have to look at it, I guess, like sports equipment a little bit, but cars are a different thing. People sell them all year round for all kinds of reasons. So generally speaking, yes. And then there's sales on you know, newer cars when, of course, you know, the dealers have new models coming in and the old inventory needs to leave the lot, that kind of thing. End of year kinds of sales are good. So, yes.
I do think the specialized sports cars have trouble moving in the middle of winter. So if you're shopping a specialized sports car, especially above the snow belt, you're probably going to have ability to get somebody to move around a little bit on what, whether or not they want to get rid of their car in January.
Sure, but are people selling them then?
I think so.
Actually selling them in the dead of winter?
And that varies. But as you brought up, yes, they're selling them all year long.
Yeah.
Who knows? And you may have the guy that posts it for whatever reason at Halloween, and it's still hanging out at Christmas. That guy wants to get rid of that car. You know,
because
you got to do some hunting. I mean, like the Lotus I bought had been on the site for a while. It had come down a few times before I bought it.
Right.
So you got to hunt for that stuff. And there is that reality of, my gosh, it's snowing outside versus it's a gorgeous day. I ought to buy it. That there's more available.
Sure.
They're charging a little bit more. Not a huge swing here. I'm not talking about a massive swing, but I do think for specialized stuff, it helps to buy when the weather's awful.
Yeah, fair enough. But then you can't drive it.
Then you can't drive it. No, no, you have to then tolerate. Yes,
yeah,
exactly, for sure.
I got my new car. It's on summer tires, and I park it. All right, so Sam, to your question, what's the best way to negotiate a better price? You've got to come into it thinking there's always going to be more cars. You've got to keep reminding yourself that, and I am guilty. I'm pointing the fingers at me, honestly, because when I saw that Cayman, I thought, oh, that's the one. Not one like it. I want that Cayman, and I'm guilty of it. So I admit that to you. But you've got to keep in mind, and that is, there's going to be other cars come down the road. If it just, man, they just, we can't reach a deal, or it's just not quite the right one, you've got to give yourself permission to keep shopping. And that is hard to do.
That was my first thought as well. And I'm going to put it another way, Sam, and just say this.
You guilty.
I am guilty as well. I'm fully guilty. I'm very bad about this, but you have to go in absolutely, positively, without question, convinced you will walk away. Because
I try
to psych myself up and still fail at this, because you're like, but it's a nice card. It's right there and I could take it home now and it's going to be a little bit more than stop. You can walk away, and walking away is the most powerful tool you have when you are trying to buy a car, especially from dealers, but from private parties as well.
Yeah, because, especially from dealers,
because they want the car to move.
Yeah,
and so if you are really willing to go leave, that is about the most powerful thing you can do.
Knowledge is the other thing, and that is being, you know, arming yourself with knowledge as far as, all right, I've really studied the market. And as you know, whether you're buying real estate or cars or any big ticket items, it's really the market is what moves it. You can't come back and say, well, the Kelley Blue Book thing and the NADA guides, and I'm pointing to the number and that's the number. Well, you know, this is a nicer car than what, you know, Kelley Blue Book is claiming. And you know what? I've got 10 buyers behind you. So, do you want it or not?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the seller mindset, I mean. But, you know, you've got to come in just armed with knowledge about the cars and knowing what they're worth and what the market is paying for them. Because
yeah.
It actually might be higher in all your search. All the search engines come with,
that's fair.
Wow, these cars are actually selling for higher than what the market price. Because that's just a guide. It's merely a tool. It's one of the tools. Yeah. So keep that in mind as you're shopping and think, okay, I've got to be able to walk away. But you know, you've just got to be able to say to a dealer, look, I could take my money elsewhere. I can go to the next state over and talk to that dealer over there. Maybe they want my money.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing. We've talked about it in a couple other categories. And somebody here actually made a comment about, there wasn't really a question. It was more of a comment about being frustrated about the dealer not knowing much about the car they were looking at. There is a good chance if you're chasing a specific car that the person at the dealer may actually know less than you. That's going to feel counterintuitive, but you may know more about the car you're looking at than they do. And I've done this as well. Don't second guess your knowledge because you think, well, they work here. So if you're, especially if you're shopping a specific car, they may have good general knowledge about all the cars they have, but you may have better knowledge on the specific car and stand on that. So, you know, I could go get this online for whatever and go with that.
Yeah. That was Tila PR's question on Instagram. Yeah. The people assisting you don't really know the differences.
It's surprising when that happens, but it's not uncommon.
It really isn't because just think of those people. They might have just needed a job and they knew somebody at the dealer and they've got a job.
Or they have a background in sales in general and now they just happen to be selling cars. It happens more than you think.
It's typical. Yeah. And cars, I mean, software sales, I could argue either side about software is software and you just kind of have to know the ins and the outs and get a technical specialist. But, you know, as the person that knows it all with you, but as a car, if you've got a car enthusiast selling you a car and you've got, okay, this person knows, I don't mind being sold. I really don't. If it's somebody knowledgeable and I feel like I'm being looked after.
If they know what they're talking about. Yeah, I see that.
I feel like I'm getting a good deal. Whether I'm actually getting a good deal or not, but if I'm made to feel like I'm getting a good deal, then I'm happy.
You did this well. Did I validate me? Thank you.
Pretty much.
I see that. That is funny. Well, we've got so many others here. I wanted to talk to Scott. Scott, sorry. I feel like you're getting beat on, man. Scott writing in on Facebook, Scott Moss, with, can you be an enthusiast and drive run flat tires?
Yeah.
His friends at LA are telling him that because his 2007 335i has run flats, he's clearly not serious. Scott, two things at once. First off, if you're running the LA Canyons for fun, if you're just in LA, LA is a difficult city to drive in, period. It's a city where you sit in traffic to get to the fun road.
Very fair.
So if you are on a fun canyon road, you fought to get there. And I will shake your hand and say, yes, sir, you are an enthusiast. I don't care. And I'm going to go there. I don't care if you drove your Prius across town to drive it hard and scream its tires on a canyon road. I will shake your hand, too, because at least you are taking the time. Paul's actually going to disown me right here.
True, but I think you're the only one who would hoon the Prius when we did the other day. Last year.
I did. I hooned that Prius.
We got some squeal out of that thing. It didn't like it at all.
If it's all you've got, run what you brung. I applaud you for doing that. Now, in the next breath, I want to say, if you as an enthusiast are looking for the next step, yes, get away from run flat tires. They have a tendency to be too numb. And that's the benefit of moving on to something else. And unless you, for some reason, need run flats, just you have a AAA membership and you get towed if something happens and you run without them and you get good performance tires. It does not negate you being an enthusiast and liking to drive, but I will say on the other side, I'm talking both sides of the coin, I realize, but I will say on the other side is I would love for you to upgrade to some sheer performance tires that are not run flats.
Scott, I don't know if your car originally came with run flats, but the 2011, correct me if I'm wrong, the BMW 335 IS press car that you and I had came equipped from the factory with Bridgestone run flats. And that was then, that's when run flats were kind of, you know, all the thing, all the rage. But the construction of the tire, it's thicker sidewalls. They're compromised in terms of feel. And so you're right, the feeling out of your tires goes away. So I'm with you, but in no way, if BMW is putting these tires as standard equipment on one of their hot performance enthusiast
cars,
that's your argument right there.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that way at all. But yes, there's other tires that you will feel a difference. So there's a question from Kevin. Kevin S. He's on Facebook asking us, can we talk about turbo lag? He is new to turbos.
Wait a minute. There it is.
Exactly. That all you need to know. I'm new to turbos, and he finds it annoying that in the family minivan, he's hoping that he won't find this same disconcerting delay in an EcoBoost Mustang or other reasonably priced performance car. I'm here to burst your bubble a little bit, like the Subaru WRX. That is like a light switch, and I've called it that before, but you're going along, you're waiting. There it is. There's the party.
Yes, but it's now really early. Like when I had my Subaru, my Saab 92X, there was really nothing below about $3,000. And so you'd leave a light. My wife actually didn't like this about the car. She liked it otherwise, but leaving a light, she hated it because it was like grind, 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 grind. You finally got to 3 grand. I was like, oh my gosh, it's got power.
Yeah.
So that happened every time. The new WRX is still all of a sudden it's powerful, but now it's at like 2000 RPM and you get there pretty quick.
Comes on earlier. Turbo lag has been around and it's by virtue of their design.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You cannot really get away from it just because of it's inherent in the design. Yeah. Now, there's been many things manufacturers have done through the years. Sequential turbos comes to mind on the 94 Toyota Supra, for example. They had a small turbo and a big turbo.
Yeah.
One for, you know, something that would get going really
one
quickly.
One for every need, yes.
You know, and then when that ran out of boost, then the big one kicked in when you were had more exhaust going and all this stuff. And so there's been a lot of manufacturers that try to counteract this. And as you said, turbo can come on a lot earlier, but you still do feel it. Mm-hmm. But that's fine. That, I think, is kind of the joy of driving turbocharged cars. And there's some that are worse than others.
True, true, true.
Ones that have higher horsepower, you feel, I think, come on pretty aggressively. But there's some that Nissan GTR, you don't know when that turbo's blowing.
I mean, you're just hot gone all the time. Yeah.
So it very much depends on the car. Mm-hmm. And you'll have to drive it to kind of discover your own taste.
Yeah.
You know, I like the EcoBoost Mustang. I like how it made power.
Yeah,
I really did.
Agreed.
I liked hanging out above 4,000 where the turbo was just always on boost. It made it a lot of fun, to be honest.
But it also didn't feel like it trundled and struggled leaving the light either.
No, so, it didn't. And it wasn't, like you said, drag.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that once you get into performance cars, generally they know that the average person driving wants to feel something kind of right away. And so they've tuned them more so now, even than 10 years ago, for it to be early. But there is that no boost versus, oh my gosh, there's boost. There's that moment in all of these.
Right. All right. What else on here?
Seth wrote in a quick question, and I'm going to give you a headline answer. Seth, is it important or even necessary in this day and age to teach your teenage driver to drive stick? Necessary? No. However, I'm going to give you the reason I say yes, they should learn it. It's much harder to text and hold your phone when you must be shifting the car for yourself. So that is the number one reason that I recommend it. Not because I feel like it's necessary and you must know this skill. You barely even know how to need to know how to drive anymore. You can call an Uber and be done, okay? You don't have to know how to drive. But if you're going to drive, a stick shift requires you to be more involved and less distracted by its sheer nature. And I know a whole family here, multiple kids here, and all of those kids were taught on a six-speed Miata.
Right.
Because they're busy. They have to be busy. So that's the only reason to do it.
I've got a couple on here that have intrigued me. One from Mark B. has asked about getting out of a car without ruining the seat bolsters. He said, even a short video would be super awesome. I have your answer, but I think I need to demonstrate it with a short video. I think I should film that and post it on Facebook.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see it as well.
It has to do with putting your hand down on the door sill, and Caymans work great for this, by the way. But
true.
You put your left hand down on the door sill and kind of just ease yourself over the hump of the seat bolster, and you go ahead and stand up.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy, and I do that. I admit, I don't want to crush the seat bolsters.
Surprised.
So.
Well, that versus what most people do, which is kind of roll over the bolster to get out, and that's what eventually crushes them
breaks
over time.
Down,
But, you know, in the Lotus, I'm just happy to be able to get out. It's all relative. I bolster, no bolster, doesn't matter, side sill. Look, I'm out. Hey, I did it again.
Lawn chairs and that thing, but you're right. There is another question from Ryan on here asking about mainstream performance cars, and he gives an example of Camaro SS, Mustang GT, M3, Cayman S. Are these cars too fast to be enjoyable?
Now, great question.
Ryan wants a V8, and he says, before a future becomes electric, I'm afraid our low speed limits may make it feel like driving with a cage tiger under the hood. Just raring to go all the time. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from, but to your point, electric cars, they're going to be even quicker than the cars you just named.
In a commuting world, they're going to feel really quick. Yeah,
even
the
Bolt, you stomp on it and it's
gone.
You're surprised. Wow, this is amazing. So, you could then get into the argument, well, why do we need the 800 horsepower AMG Mercedes burnout machines?
By the way, need does not belong in that sentence. Yeah.
The Demon, the Hellcats, all that kind of stuff.
Completely.
There's a ton of horsepower, but, you've got to pick your moments, I guess, is all you can come back to is just, for fun drives, and you've got to wait till it really opens up, because otherwise you are looking at speeding,
Completely. And
you can speed in Camrys and Corollas. You can speed in any car.
You can speed in anything. That's absolutely true. And that's the thing, is that I agree with you. I think in general, these cars are actually, Ryan, I think they are too powerful for anything most people will need. So what you now have to do is you have to be enough of an enthusiast to seek out opportunities to use more of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a canyon road that you're not running over 50, but it's a tight enough canyon road that the minivans are doing 20. It can be that, or it can be time at a track. But you've got to go somewhere to feel the performance. The other thing that's a big factor here, I think, is how much a car feels fast. And I'm going to go to, this is why I like small, low-powered stuff, because 80 miles an hour in my Lotus feels like something's happening. 80 miles an hour in your Cayman, you feel like you could do that all day and not even notice the speed.
Your son's asking me questions about my radar detector.
Totally, totally. Yes. So the different cars actually let you in on what's happening more than others. And if a car shields you with, I'll give you a great example. The Camaro that we drove, the ZL1 1LE.
Right, right.
Wickedly fast. That was part of season 2. Wickedly fast, unbelievably capable.
Yeah.
But that was, honestly, if somebody had a way to average our speeds, I guarantee you that that rivalry episode with that car and the GT350R is the fastest average speeds you and I've ever had on a review. Because for those cars to start to feel like they were doing something and it to get interesting, I kept looking down at the speedo and going, no. I'm not doing that. I mean, it wasn't like I was seeking it. I was genuinely surprised by, you're kidding. I think, oh, I'm doing 80. No, I'm really not doing 80. That's a frightening, frightening arrestable number. Happened all the time.
You know what? As we're talking this through, I think I'm coming to the reason why I like the Cayman and why I like the higher speeds.
Okay.
It's the adrenaline rush that I get from...
You're
could
about
say
to be arrested.
Breaking the law, but it's the adrenaline rush that comes along with the higher speeds and experiencing that rather than, because you're right, you can experience the same feeling at 65 and, oh my gosh, this feels fat. Oh, I'm just doing 65.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
But then when I'm in those speeds,
I see. You're that guy.
My adrenal glands open up and just. It's that rush that I get.
You're a 16-year-old. I get it. I understand. That's fine.
It's the adrenaline junkie rush that I'm looking for.
It happens.
But think about electric cars. We're going to get even faster off the line. And, you know,
yes.
Turbocharged, small engine that are geared really low. I mean, first gear is you jump off the line in the new Hyundai Tucson. I had a neighbor here. He's like, oh my gosh, my Tucson's so quick off the line. I'm like, well, yeah, they wanted you to
they're
make
all
it feel
being,
snappy.
They're all being tuned that way. Absolutely they are. Yep. Let's see. Mark has a question along these lines. It's Mr. Kid 37. I read that wrong. Mr. Kid 37 had a question about what happens when we catch up to a slower driver on a fun mountain road? What do we do? First thing I do is, unless they are completely oblivious.
Well, he's asking if there's no way to legally pass. That's an addendum here, too.
So you're on a two-lane road with a lot of double yellows, okay? This might be controversial, but I'll give you all of my answers. Theoretically, they've seen me coming up behind them. They know I'm there, okay?
You might assume too much.
Yes, that's true. And I let a couple turnouts go by. Before I do anything, I let a couple opportunities for them to turn out go by.
Just to give them the benefit of the doubt,
there,
right?
Because sometimes people pull over. And don't get me wrong, I'm not touching their bumper either, but I came up, I have arrived behind them. I'm not honking, I'm not revving, I'm just driving. But I get to let a couple of those go by. And now I start looking for an opportunity to pass. Now, the opportunity to pass, that may be double yellow. We have a lowest common denominator in the way our roads are built. Okay. They're setting up that 20 mile an hour speed limit and this is a no passing zone so that the worst, slowest car with the worst handling is okay. There's a margin for error.
Upon needing to pass, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you're in something that can pass instantly, Jeep Trackhawk, you know, something that just you think about passing and, oh, look, I've done it. Then, you know, your passing zone is very different than the 18-wheeler that hauled trees up this hill. You know what I mean? It's just I'm being extreme. Or the family, the 12 people in a minivan. They can't pass like that car.
You can put 12 people in a minivan?
Well, it's a frightening world. Wow. So anyway, so if I feel like there is going to be an opportunity to pass, then I will take it. But if there's traffic going the other way and there's not an opportunity to pass, I pull over. I use the turnout. And I just sit there. And I'll wait. I'll try to wait a couple minutes. But what I do is I watch who's coming up the hill.
Because
if I see somebody slow come up the hill, I at least get out in front of them. But I just wait it out.
Oh, that's good. There's a couple of design-related questions on here from Wall of Yawn. Talking about fin-shaped antennas on the roofs of cars. said, I feel like they ruin the lines of many cars. Why not integrate them somewhere else? You're right. Yeah, integration means combining parts and think about manufacturing and parts. And you just want to manufacture an inexpensive antenna and screw it to the roof and just cover it up with a piece of plastic mm-hmm. rather than integrating it into the A-pillar with the – think about the manufacturing complexity of – you know, sure, just making sure. The part, the assembly complexity to do that, yes, at what benefit for the price of the car and for the labor involved and all that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. you got to come back to, all right, well, yeah, they just wanted to plop an antenna on there and we'll just put a little cover over the top and call it good. Not really, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It has to a lot to do with the complexities of manufacturing and assembly.
Hmm.
Thinking the Kia Soul question about the... the phone shaped taillights. Who's asking me? Oh, it's Wes. Wes okay. Bees.
Yeah. Talking
about the Kia Soul. He said, he knows I'm a fan. Yes, I'm a huge fan. Why did they use the symbol for telephone as the taillights? It's the only thing I see when I look at them. Well, Wes, consider the shape of the car is designed first and then the details, and those shut lines and cut lines for the taillights and headlights could vary when you've got the clay model in front of you and you're using the knife to cut. Hey, we could do this, or we could, you know, and you do some different sketches about what this could be, and you're breaking up that taillight as a graphic symbol. So yes, it is the phone taillight, but it actually kind of works for that upright vertical C pillar on that on that sole. So it's a choice. You're right. It's a choice. I kind of see it working for that car, just because it kind of brings your eye back around to the middle of the tailgate and points you back towards that area. Okay. So everything is about directing your eye.
Sure.
Hey, it works. It got your attention. You see the taillights, right?
We keep having variation on Track Daily Crush. Tonight's variation is rent, buy, or crush.
Oh.
Do you see this?
Yes.
Aston Martin V12 Vantage S. Oh, man.
Ooh.
The Aston Martin 177...
Oh, I got chills over that
and
car.
And the Porsche 911 997 GT3 RS4O that I lust after needlessly.
Oh, yeah.
Wow on all three of these. This ends with bad news. It's just all bad news. Something gets crushed here and that's a tragedy.
Yeah.
I think I buy the GT3 RS4O because I think it's not only crazy fun, but it's just usable. You could just drive it. You could drive it slowly, which would be a tragedy, but you could, okay?
Despite it having a half cage, it's usable.
Yes, exactly.
It's got a trunk. Come on.
So that's the car to buy. I think the V12 Vantage S gets crushed because it's not special enough, and I think the 177 gets rented because it's a car I want to experience, but I don't think that's a car I'd want to own.
This is amazing. I'm completely in 100% agreement.
Okay, all right.
I want to drive that Porsche all the time.
Yeah,
I want to. I want to buy it. I want to own it.
And I would drive the Vantage all the time, but it's not quite as special
not
as the GT3.
This comparison. No. Okay, so there's one last one: Higher Fire Clone.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Now we're talking people.
This one, these scare me just a little bit. We're in some dystopian future here with robots and cloned executives. I'm frightened. If we clone Elon, does that clone sleep on the floor? Sorry,
thing. The army of Elons. Wow.
Now we're building Teslas.
What a great idea.
Model 3s are now getting built.
That should
built.
Be his next idea is to clone himself. So if he
Perfect.
Wants to really get
Stuff's
things done.
Stuff's going to get done.
Oh, man.
One Elon can parent and the other one can sleep on the factory floor. It works perfectly. I'm solving problems now. Sorry.
I'm getting things done over here, people. All right. So Higher Fire Clone, Ralph Giles, design director at FCA, VP of design. Adrian Van Hooydonk, he's the design director for BMW. I actually interviewed with Adrian back when he was early in his career as the VP of design there. And we'll just say I didn't have the fairest impression.
Okay.
Because he just, for whatever reason.
You're a unique place to answer this question,
keep
going.
He didn't really like my stuff.
And you weren't a fan and neither was he.
So
got it.
Guess who's getting fired? And then, of course, there's Johnny Ives, the VP of design for Apple, who has led Apple ever since the candy color iMacs, you know, with the CRT in them and way back in 97? Mm-hmm.
Those, yep.
96?
I get it, for sure.
So I am hiring Ralph for sure.
Okay.
Ralph's awesome. He's a true car guy.
He is, for sure.
Races Vipers. Both he and his wife race Vipers, actually. I don't know if she races a Viper. She might race a Ferrari. Anyway.
Either way.
They're fans.
Yes.
Johnny, you got to clone that guy. He's brilliant, British. No, actually, I think he's Welsh.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Anyway, okay. So definitely clone Johnny. And like I said, Adrian and I just didn't see eye to eye.
Interesting.
And,
I love that you have a personal connection in
I
this
do.
Discussion.
I,
well
I
done.
I interviewed with him.
Yeah, I've got nothing.
And
well done.
He's been fine, but I maintain that BMWs need a new design direction for their interiors. They are rehashing
for a long time.
The same design language.
Yeah,
so, Adrian, you're fired.
Totally. It's a totally different show. Anyway, thank
great
you guys
pleasure to say
for,
that.
For listening. As always, we would love to have you review. If you want to send a car debate, it is everydaydrivertv@gmail.com or through the website everydaydriver.com. We would love to have an Amazon review. We'd love to have an iTunes review. More than anything, guys, thank you for listening and thank you for sharing this show. We really appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you guys again. Looking forward to next time. Cheers.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, you will certainly send any text about your supervisor to your supervisor.
What's with Janet's bangs? Did she lose a bet with a weed whacker? LOL. And sent. Wait, no.
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
Janet, I think my phone was hacked or something.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. Federal government worker Blake Murray in D.C. says he's pretty much had it with the partial government shutdown.
It's pretty demoralizing, and I feel like kind of a pawn in a political game and totally powerless.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is asking President Trump to postpone his January 29th State of the Union address, citing security concerns. But Republicans say this is just politics, shutdown politics, a move intended to keep President Trump off the national stage. Going to prison for 20 years, a Tennessee teacher who took a 15-year-old student and ran for weeks. Prosecutor Dan Cochran.
We think it's a serious sentence. 20 years is a significant amount of time. He's going to have all that time to think about what he did, the consequences of it. We asked for 30, obviously, but 20 is a very serious sentence, and we feel good about it.
An employee and a customer at an IHOP restaurant in Huntsville, Alabama, were killed in a shooting that also injured another employee. I'm Rita Foley.